Moving right along. Agenda item number five, City of Hampton. Mr. Johnson, good morning.
Good morning. The City of Hampton is requesting authorization to install a 147-foot by 165-foot floating aqua park surrounded by a 200-foot by 215-foot safety buoy system approximately 320 feet north of the Buck Road Fishing Pier with a maximum of 375 feet channel to mean low water along the Chesapeake Bay shoreline at Buck Road Beach in the City of Hampton. The city is protested. A couple of issues I want to point out real quick in this project description. In the evaluation that you have before you, I have an incorrect number. I used the previous revision number for that. It's actually 375 feet channel to mean low water. And the project is out protested by four people in the City of Hampton, not one. One other thing I want to briefly mention to you is that this project represents a novel use of public bottom that has not been considered by the BMRC before. And as such, staff will not be making a recommendation of approving or denying the city's request. And rather, we are seeking guidance as to the permitting of structures such as this over state on bottom. You will note that the project is protested, however, that this project would have been brought before you for consideration, regardless of the project being protested or not. All right. The project is located, again, in the City of Hampton, along the Chesapeake Bay shoreline. As you can see, the area is highly exposed to wave and wind energy in the northeast, east, and southeast, with catches exceeding 10 miles in those directions. I'll return to this issue later in the presentation. The project is located in the southern section of Buck Road Beach, which is maintained as a public beach by the City of Hampton. Here you see the Buck Road Fishing Pier highlighted, and is the southernmost portion of the public beach area. All right, the proposed park again will be approximately 320 feet north of the fishing pier and approximately 350 feet of an existing bulkhead that separates the beach from Resort Boulevard. You can see the dimensions of both the aqua park and proposed security barrier here, which will aid, and the security barrier is intended to prevent interactions with swimmers and watercraft. The floating aqua park is modular in design. It's composed of floating sections of inflated high-density plastics, which are attached together to form what you see depicted here. Access to the structure will be accomplished by swimming, wading out to the sections of the pier that have steps up to the elevations of the floating structure itself. So you can kind of see those steps represented here, here, one here, 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 and here. The different sections will have different activities, such as bounce beams, slides, and different kinds of hurdles for the people enjoying the park. There is a lifeguard station that will be built into the park, which will provide space for multiple lifeguards. Manufacturer recommended water depths range up to 8 feet for structures such as the action tower you see here, which rises approximately 10 feet above water level. And I believe there's at least one lifeguard station and maybe two. I'm trying to see it here. Here's the lifeguard station here, and there's another one here. Floating sections of the park and security barrier will only be in the water during the summer months. Here you see the anchoring system that will be used to secure the water park to the benthic environment. The floating sections will be moored to the benthos using 32 permanent anchors that are depicted with the blue that you see here. These anchors remain in the bottom year-round. Security barrier will be secured through the use of 7 anchor blocks, which will be removed during the off-season when the rest of the structure comes out as well. And I'll show the specifications to the anchors in a few moments. Here's a cross-section of the proposed aqua park in the water. As you can see, water depths for the area where the structure will be installed will start at around minus 5 feet mean low water and increase up to minus 8 feet mean low water at the channel end of the structure. Excuse me. This cross-section shows the security barrier. The maximum channel encroachment will be, again, be 375 feet from this point of mean low water. here are the technical specifications for the permanent anchors. Anchors proposed will be the two smaller ones here, the BO4T and the BO6T. These anchors are designed to be pushed into the sediment vertically, and then when you start to pull them back out, they become more horizontal, providing additional surface area and resistance to being removed from the benthos. The technical information for the anchor blocks that hold security barrier, these would be approximately 970 pounds, and again, these would be removed during the off-season. Now we have a couple of ground shots. This is looking from the road. This is the bulkhead I mentioned earlier, and the structure, again, will be offshore, slightly offshore at the channel of this groin. It'd be in this approximate area right here. This is a ground shot from the Buck Road Fishing Pier. Again, you see the groin here, so the structure will be in this general area right in here. Staff has conducted an extensive public review of the proposal. We've received four protests from citizens of the City of Hampton. Some of these objections cited were outside the jurisdiction of the board, like parking, traffic control, those sorts of situations, but they did cite concerns with natural resources in the area as well. So staff did contact several state agencies for comments regarding the project. We contacted the Department of Health. They returned comments back to us stating that no additional sanitary facilities would be required for the structure, but they did note that efforts should be tried to keep swimmers and boaters separate from each other. By the way, all these comments are in your packets. We also contacted Department of Game, Land, and Fisheries, Department of Conservation and Recreation regarding comments for the structures. Neither of the two agencies cited any major concerns with the project. We also asked VIMS for comments, and they came back to us citing no natural resource issues. They did state that should the structures break loose during storm events, that could be an issue, for they wash up impacting property or natural resources such as salt marshes or something like that. They did note that they weren't commenting specifically on sea turtles or marine mammals, but it should be noted that the Corps of Engineers is requiring an individual permit for this project, and they will be coordinating with the National Marine Fisheries Service for those specific kinds of interactions between sea turtles and marine mammals. Staff also discussed the project with our Marine Patrol Office, Colonel Lauderman. Specifically, we were concerned about what kind of requirements this would have on our police force in terms of trying to police the structure. And he indicated to me that he foresaw no increased need for policing of the area by staff, by the Marine Patrol. And indeed, the city has maintained that they will be policing the structure themselves. Staff is concerned about these structures breaking loose and being an issue. We've talked to the city about trying to protect, make sure these kind of issues don't happen. This area is highly exposed, like I mentioned earlier. During storm events with winds up to 35 miles an hour, we can expect wave heights of up to 6 feet impacting the shoreline. As such, we discussed, what can they do to help prevent these kinds of situations. With hurricanes, obviously, we have forewarning. There's several days' notice when we have a hurricane approaching. But summer squalls, you can see winds of 35 to 50 miles an hour. The City of Hampton has responded to us saying it would take only a few hours for a crew to remove this structure from the water. However, is a few hours still enough? Sometimes these squalls come up pretty quickly, so that's one of our staff concerns for the project. I think the only other thing that staff really caught in terms of what might be an issue for public safety for this is biofouling of the structure. Certainly when you have any structure in the summer months, you start getting barnacles growing on them and stuff like that, which can injure people. And staff has asked the city about this, and they replied that the structure is treated, I believe, with some sort of compound to prevent biofouling. But certainly we think that will be a maintenance issue going forward with the city, and they should be prepared to protect citizens from that kind of stuff. In summary and recommendation, the City of Hampton has proposed a unique structure involving state-owned subaqueous bottom, Staff is unaware of a similar project in Virginia waters. Accordingly, while the project is protested, staff would likely have brought this project to the Commission for consideration because it represents a new type of public bottom, use of public bottom. Additionally, issues remain concerning potential impacts to coastal resources and public safety. The Commission routinely approves projects that improve access for public use of state-owned bottoms of aqueous bottom. These projects typically include public boat ramps, fishing piers, marinas, and beach nourishment. In these cases, the projects allow for opportunity where none existed before. At this site, there is already a public beach and fishing pier providing public access. The addition of a floating aquapark will not increase public access, but it will provide for a different type of use. The siting and operation of the aquapark by the city in the waters opposite of an existing city-owned public beach addresses several issues staff would typically evaluate if such a proposal was sited in a different location that would displace other uses of public bottom. The liability hazard and policing of the proposed structure will be the responsibility of the City of Hampton. At the selected location, impacts to natural resources are expected to be minimal during normal use and operation of the proposed structure. The exposed location will, however, expose the aquapark to high wind and wave energy during storm events, with potential damage to the shoreline and adjacent structures should the floats be dislodged or break free of their moorings. The city has advised staff that the structures can be broken down and removed from the water in about 4 hours, which should be sufficient for predicted storms. Fast-moving squall lines and strong summer storms may still present a challenge. The aquapark appears to be sited in water shallower than the recommended on the product website. Staff is not familiar enough with the product to fully understand the depth requirements, but the shallow water is a safety concern. We would advise relocating the park to deeper water or taking other appropriate safety measures. After evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by those in opposition to the project, and after considering all the factors contained in 28.2-1205 of the Code of Virginia, staff can find no reason why the project should necessarily be denied. If approved, we would recommend the city develop detailed plans to remove or secure the structure during storm events and confirm with the product manufacturer that the aquapark is sited in deep enough water at all tide levels. Provided the above matters are addressed, we recommend the commission make the determination regarding whether this proposed new use by the city is a reasonable and permissible use of state-owned bottom lands consistent with the public trust doctrine. Glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I suspect there will be some questions. Questions from the commission? Mr. Tankard.
Maybe you mentioned it in the write-up here, but have we seen anything like this anywhere on the East Coast? I noticed the photos seem like they're West Coast-oriented.
Staff did a fairly intensive, well, I won't say intensive. We researched it on the manufacturer website, YBIT, I think is the name of it, and we found locations where they have been installed in tidal waters, but in all the situations that I could find, they weren't in areas exposed like this. They were more contained, you know, enclosed areas, you know, without 10-mile fetches, 15-mile fetches. So I'm not sure. Staff is concerned about that.
Can I have a follow-up?
Mr. Tankard.
And then further, I've never really seen you all use this terminology in your summary and recommendation. You say staff can find no reason why the project should necessarily be denied. That's a lot of ambiguity there.
Yes, I realize that. Staff is not making a recommendation on this project. This represents potentially new policy that we're asking for the commission to, you know, provide us guidance on, because is a new and novel use of state-owned bottom. We can find no rationale in 28.2-1205 for the denial of the project, but is this the appropriate use of state-owned bottom? And that's what we're asking for direction from you today.
Mr. France, first.
Yeah, a couple of questions. How long does it take to get something like this out of the water if impending weather is coming?
Staff asked the city that question, and the answer was approximately 4 hours for a crew of four, I believe.
You know, do they take it back on shore, or they take it offshore?
They would have to bring it offshore and secure it in some fashion so that it's not, you know, you're just not going to put it on the beach because the winds can still blow it. It's a large inflated structure, so I'm assuming they will secure it in an area where it can't be done, can't be blown around.
Okay, my second question would be, since this is only just a hair over 100 yards from the fishing pier, will all this activity have any effect on the fishing pier?
It's 300 yards, 300 feet, 320 feet, and this is a city-owned fishing pier. So we feel like they're going to protect their interests when it comes to the fishing pier as well. We didn't really delve into that subject too much with the city.
Mr. Zeter,
you were talking about the water depth, but I also heard you say that the access to this is going to be by wading through the water and getting there. So there's no ramp or anything like that. Has that been considered if you make it deeper, that people are not going to be able to make it out there?
Well, yeah, and that's one of the things you have to kind of balance, I think, in terms of access to the pier. You know, at the landward end, water depth is approximately 5 feet. And then when you get to the offshore, it's approximately 8 feet. And for that water tower structure I showed you, it has to be, you know, manufacturer is 7 feet, 10 inches, I believe, was the water depth. So it has to be, you have to have somebody, if somebody falls, it jumps off into the water, you're risking personal injury at that point. But so to bring it in any closer, I don't think is feasible. There's no other ramps or access structures. It's going to purely be swimming or wading. I'm assuming the city will probably provide personal flotation devices to people who are paying to come out and use the facility, but I think that's a question for the city to answer.
Mrs. Everett.
No SAV in the area currently. Is there the potential for SAV to come back, and would the shading affect that?
There's no SAV in the area, and when I reviewed maps, I couldn't see any SAV historically in the area, and there are no oyster leases in the area as well. Crab potting and gill nets may be another issue, but no fishing devices like that, or lease potting.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. Neal.
I guess this is a legal question, a liability issue. So if there are injuries associated with this park after we permit it, who is liable? Does the MRC face any liability issues from that?
Ms. Block.
Not that I would foresee, no.
Okay. And the same kind of thing, if there is breakaways with the storm event and there is some damage to somebody's pier or whatnot, is that still a liability issue that we're not faced with?
The city of Hampton would be responsible for making sure that it didn't break free of its moorings, and if it did, it would be the city of Hampton's responsibility.
Thank you.
Other questions from the commission? Let's hear from the city. Is the city represented? Please come forward. I need to swear you in. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
Yes.
Please state your name for the record into the microphone.
Allison Eubank.
Welcome.
Hi, I'm Allison Eubank. I'm with the City of Hampton. Hopefully today I can answer some of the questions that you still have remaining about this. We are here to hopefully convince you that this is an acceptable use of the public bottom. We are seeking a permit for a floating water park that is similar to the one shown in this picture. And we are requesting this permit with the intention of furthering several goals. One of those is to increase the use of the public waterfront and to increase the love and grow appreciation for water and natural resources, and to provide a family-friendly, budget-conscious activity and offer high-quality, unique experiences to both our residents and visitors and create a casual and inviting beachfront experience. Some of these things have already been said. It is a seasonal floating water park that would allow users a new way to experience the bayfront with a minimal environmental impact. And we are here because of the 39 acres that will secure it to the sea floor. 32 of those will remain year-round, and 7 of them are seasonal. Should the permit be approved, the equipment would be purchased from Wibbit, which is a German company with 20 years of worldwide experience in over 75 countries, including the United States. So these maps depict some of those 75 countries in which the floating water parks are located. And these are their open water locations. So open water is not always what you think of. It is also including lakes. I know that when we say open water, you're probably mostly thinking of bays or oceans. But Wibbit does estimate that over 500 of their aqua parks are located on oceans or bays worldwide. And they specifically gave us examples from Japan, Italy, Croatia, Spain, and the Caribbean that have been operating since the 2013-2014 time range successfully. And a more comparable example is a water park that opened last summer in Whiting, Indiana on Lake Michigan, and those conditions are more open water like we would be looking at here, and I will tell you more about that example later. So you're now very familiar with the location we're looking at here. This is our public beachfront. I'm at Buckrow Beach Park, and the public beachfront is nearly 1 mile in length, and during season we have lifeguards here from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily, and this is bound by Pilot Avenue to the north and our public fishing pier to the south, and is our proposed water park here in yellow. This area is also under a conservation easement that was dedicated in 2010, and the area is about 8 acres. So this will be remain in public access for perpetuity, be preserved in perpetuity. So a closer look at the location here, the actual water park equipment is the area that's bound by the white dash line, and then the safety buoy that was mentioned is the yellow line that you see here. And this is the water park depiction. It is a custom water park that's been designed for Hampton. There were some questions about the water depth. What you're looking at here at the bottom of the screen is the area that's closest to the shore, and the top of the screen is the area that's farther from shore. And the reason it's a custom water park is because some of these pieces do require a greater water depth than the other pieces. So the ones closer to shore may only require 4 feet of water depth or the 5 feet of water depth, and those farther from shore are the ones that require the full 8 feet of water depth, the things that are really the big pieces you jump off of. And we have asked that 2 lifeguard towers be incorporated into the full water park. That was something that was important for safety concerns for our aquatics department. And here you can see some of these pieces, I believe, that Mr. Johnson also showed you, the action tower. That's something that's at the deepest extreme, at the 8 feet, as people will be jumping off of that, in the lifeguard tower. And these different pieces also allow people of different abilities to be able to use it. The manufacturer recommends that it's for people 7 and up. We've also seen that people or that different operators allow ages 6 and up to use it. Everyone is required to wear a life jacket when they use it. And then to talk a little bit more about the actual fabric or construction of the equipment, it is made from heavyweight PVC, and it's reinforced. It has a polyester mesh in the middle, so it's a high-quality reinforced PVC. And this is our anchoring plan that you have looked at before. So those anchors in blue are the ones that will remain year-round. Those are the bat anchors. And then the ones in red are the ones that will be removed seasonally. And you saw these just a moment ago, the bat anchors and the block anchors. I think it is important to note that this anchor plan was designed by Wibbitt Engineers in Germany after they looked at the geotechnical report for Buckrow Beach. So it wasn't just me in my office in Hampton deciding that these anchors were what I thought was best. These were designed by engineers after looking at the report for Buckrow. And this image in the bottom right corner shows a park in some mild wave action conditions. I'm going to skip right through these. You just saw the plan for the anchors. But to give you a little bit more about actually how it works under the water between the anchors that we've talked about and then the floating piece on top, coming from the anchor to that piece, there's a chain, and then there's a little shackle piece and a bungee, which is what you see here in red and white. And that bungee has 3 meters or 9 feet for Americans, roughly, of flex in it. And that flex accommodates for tide and accommodates for the wave action. So it allows the water park to float up and down and handle all of that. And once, if this permit is approved and the other permits that we require are approved, then we will really work with them to figure out the specifics of our water depth and figure out how long the chain needs to be, and then figure out how long the bungees need to be, and then it will be able to accommodate the wave action and our tide that we have here in order to handle that. So we have looked through all of the agency response that's been received throughout this joint permit application process, and we do feel that there are no concerns that have been raised that we cannot address. We are still waiting for the Army Corps process to be completed. That's still under review. And to dive a little bit deeper into the installation and maintenance, I know that there are some concerns there. The anchors will be installed by Wibbit, that's the company that's selling this. They will be installed by their professionals, and the city will be trained by their professionals on the installation and removal of the park and also on the maintenance of the park. And when we say maintenance, we mean day-to-day inspection of it. Lifeguards will be required to inspect it daily to make sure that it's safe before users are allowed to use it, and also that longer-term seasonal maintenance of it, how it needs to be inspected before it's packed up for the season. And then the city will have standard operating procedures regarding that inspection and maintenance and the treatment of the water park in inclement weather and off-season storage. And then specifically regarding the wind and the waves that this may be subject to, we will have standard operating procedures for clearing the park in case of sudden summer storms, but this will really be, I would say, subject to the highest waves if the winds are coming from the northeasterly or northerly direction, and we see that most of our sudden summer storms are coming from the west direction. And lifeguards are monitoring weather via a site that uses NOAA data, and that is Willy Weather. We have also been recommended another site by the One American distributor, and they said that that is iWindSurf. So we have a few resources to use to help monitor this weather and monitor it in advance. Because it is recommended that the park be removed for storms that are ranking a Beaufort scale 5 or 6 or higher, so that's wind of 18 miles per hour and waves of 6 feet or higher. But in Buck Row, we're typically seeing waves that are 6 inches to 12 inches. And then in late August, that increases slightly as storms increase. And if we do need to remove the park because we see something as predicted, it takes about 3 to 4 hours to remove the entire water park with 4 people. With more people, it would go faster. But if we see that something is coming and we maybe only have 2 hours, another option is that you can deflate the pieces partially and leave them on water, and then they will catch less wind. And a few examples that we have for you where we have spoken with other operators. There's an operator in St. Martin, and he said admittedly he is in a fairly calm area and sees maximum of 1 to 3 foot waves. He says he finds it makes it more fun for his guests, his users. But the option or the example that I mentioned before in Whiting, Indiana on Lake Michigan, it is actually operated by the American distributor of this product. They also operate ones, and they operated it for 1 year, and they said in 20 years of operating ones, this is the most harsh conditions that they've seen, yet it was also a very successful operation. They had to receive permits from the Army Corps, the Indiana Department of Natural Resources, the U.S. Coast Guard, and also change of state law in order to receive their permits to operate the park. And they went through, they have all of the procedures that I just mentioned to you. They are the ones that use these sites to monitor the weather. And they do occasionally have to remove the park because they receive 12 hours of direct wind that create 13-foot waves that people then surf on. So there are times where you have to remove it. And we understand that that is part of owning and operating such a park, and that we will have to have very good weather plan and staff plan in place. But we think that those are things that can be accomplished. So we're here to ask you to consider approval of this permit to increase access to and use of the bay and provide new opportunities for our citizens. I am here to answer any questions you have. I also have the Hampton City Manager, the Parks Director, the Wetlands, someone from our Wetlands Board, and also legal. So hopefully we're ready if you have questions.
Well, let's start. Are there questions? I see Mr. Zedrin's hand.
This is for legal. Is Hampton self-insured?
Yes, we are.
What is the limit?
I do not know our limit, but we have talked with risk management. You will be required to sign a liability waiver to use this. And after looking at this and speaking with other cities who have this, there's a comfort level, and they feel comfortable that we can add this under our self-insurance program.
Mr. Tankard.
How are you going to manage access to this? I mean, you're open to the bay, and people can paddle up, sail up, motor up to this structure.
Yes. So you are, yes, you are not allowed to tie off to these. But in terms of people that are swimming in it and whether or not managing their access to it, that's what these yellow safety buoys are for. And people will go in, that's in this way, and swim in and then come out through another option. But this is the general swimming area at Buckrow Beach and a no wake zone. Kevin, I don't know if you have anything to add.
No.
Please come forward, sir. We're going to address the board here. I need to swear you in here. It's a public hearing. It's required under the law. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Please state your name for the record.
Kevin Meyer, City of Hampton.
Welcome, sir.
Yes. What Allison said is correct. We're basically, you say, how we're going to provide access. You know, it's going to be an escort access with the kids with life preservers and safety devices on, taking them on and off. When it's closed, it would be basically guarded by staff and private security that we're looking to hire. So after hours, they just always keep eyes on it.
Other questions? Mrs. Ebert?
You mentioned there's a conservation easement on the 8 miles of the beach.
Yes.
Is it for conservation or view shed or what was... Who holds that easement?
It is a conservation easement held by the Virginia Outdoors Foundation. So this will remain public land in perpetuity. It does allow for certain activities to happen, but it only allows, I forget exactly how much development can happen. We can only build certain things that support the public beach uses, such as shelters and bathrooms, and certain things like that.
And this is not on the conservation easement, but it's appropriate, acceptable use to Jason Dewey, according to the VOF. Okay.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. Zedron.
Got no one for legal on its side. Do you look at this as a non-proprietary function of the city?
You hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, help you God?
Yes.
Please state your name for the record.
I am Bonnie Brown. I'm a senior assistant city attorney. I think where you're going with that is, are we going to be claiming sovereign immunity as a governmental versus proprietary function?
You got it.
We would see this as part of our normal park operations, which would be a governmental function, and there's also recreational immunity statutes in the code that we might call upon. So I would say like Allison mentioned, we've reviewed this through the risk manager's office. We're going to have standard operating procedures for inspections, reporting of any injuries that hopefully don't occur, and security after hours. So we're doing all that we can to maximize our limit our potential liability and ensure the safety of participants. So we do see it as a typical park function, which we would count as governmental.
Yeah. Does the city have above the self-insured amount the city has, does it have any other type of insurance that covers above that for any kind of claim?
I am not as familiar with our risk management insurance, but we can get that answer for you. As far as I know, our risk manager said it will be covered under the regular self-insurance, and he did not mention any other coverage like that.
One more question. Would there be any problem with making VMRC an additional insured?
I also can't answer that question off the top of my head. I'm sorry. But I can probably maybe even quickly make a phone call and find that out. But I don't think that we typically do that. We definitely, for use of our property, require for special events and other things, people to make us an additional insurer, so I understand where that question's coming from. But I don't know if that's been a historic practice for us.
Well, this being a new project and new type of thing, might be a time for a new procedure.
Understood. And we can find that out if that's something the commission is interested in.
Let's ask Ms. Block here to weigh in from the Attorney General's office.
I don't think there is going to be a colorable claim for liability simply because we permitted the structure. If there's an injury, they're going to go after the city of Hampton, claiming perhaps negligence or what have you. I don't think it's necessary for us to be put on insurance. I don't think we have liability here.
Can I respond to that?
Sure.
Yeah, Mr. Zetron.
Well, as you and I know, anybody can file a suit, but it's the cost of litigation is my concern. If we permit this, and first of all, and if they're talking about six-year-olds, which have virtually no negligence, and they're hurt, and then the city right off the bat says, a non-proprietary function, we've got governmental immunity, the lawyer's going to find somebody else.
And we're going to have many, if not more, of the same arguments that the city has to take care of that. I understand there's a cost to litigation, but probably less than a private, since it's me in the AG's office. I don't think there's a strong risk of liability for VMRC. Permits are just related to whether or not this is an appropriate use of the bottom that serves the public trust and the public trust doctrine. We're not running it, we're not managing it, but it's of course up to the commission what they want to do.
Well, we have three attorneys up here. If we want more legal discussion, we got plenty of firepower. Other questions from the commission? Mr. Tankard?
You mentioned geotechnical engineering. Tell us what that is and how it might benefit your understanding of this facility's ability to take the strong winds of the Chesapeake Bay on a summer day where we have a squall that comes up.
Okay. Disclaimer, I am not an engineer. There was a report done when the pier was built, the Buckeye Fishing Pier, studying the soils. And so we took the report that was done looking at those soils and the soil types and sent that to the engineers so they could understand if those were soft soils, hard clay-like soils, to find out what anchors would be best in those, to see how far down they would need to go in that dirt to make sure that they would really hold tight and would not pull out if the wind decided to blow 10 miles an hour, to make sure that it wouldn't pull out. So people who are actually engineers looked at that to make sure that these would hold fast in that soil.
Okay. That's more about what's on the bottom than it is looking at wind speeds and average wind speeds.
I would say it's a anomalies combination of wind those. Speeds. It's making sure that putting that anchor into that soil, it's in the right place and the right anchor for that kind of soil to hold when that wind is pushing around what's on top.
All right. Mr. Prince.
Yeah, have you looked into the safety record of these water parks in other areas and how they fare?
Yes, so our risk manager did talk to some other parks, and then we've also looked at some ourselves. And what we have found is it typically falls on the maintenance. When people have had injuries, it comes back to them not being well maintained.
Other questions from the commission? Ms. Eubank, I have a question.
One more question.
Mr. Tankard.
So let me just ask, how did y'all decide that you wanted to do this? I mean, was there some demand from the citizens of Hampton? How did you come about to decide you wanted to try this?
We think this is a quality of life type of activity that we can add, and something that adds interest to our public beachfront. And we know that we can offer this at a relatively affordable price point, since not everyone has the opportunity to perhaps go to a water country type of park. So this is something that we would like to try as a quality of life addition to the city of Hampton.
Which segues perfectly into my question. This is something you'd like to try. So my question is kind of simple. Maybe it's profound. Maybe it's silly. What if it doesn't work?
At least we can say we've tried.
That's a good answer. Are there other questions from the commission? Yes, please come forward. Absolutely. I need to swear you in, though. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, I do.
Please state your name for the record.
I'm Mary Bunting. I'm the city manager of Hampton. I want to add that one of the things we haven't discussed here are that these are inflatable systems that can be used outdoors or indoors. The city has several indoor pools. We're also contemplating doing another larger aquatics facility. So our plan is to use these indoors in the winter for family fun. You can imagine taking the kids to a pool on a Friday night or a Saturday in the winter so they can still have an aquatics experience. So if it doesn't work the way that we believe it will, and we would not be doing this if we did not believe that it would, we can still deploy the public resource in our indoor pools so that it is not a waste of taxpayer expense. And we do intend to use it, as I already mentioned, in the winter. So we felt, the council felt, the staff felt, that this was a way to activate our waterfront so that our public could enjoy it more. And if things did not work as we anticipate, despite our extensive research, we could deploy them in our indoor parks as well.
Thank you, ma'am. Mrs. Everett.
One last question. You mentioned in 75 countries, you said there were some sites with injuries. I guess, are there any typical, the squall type of situations that we've talked about here today as being a risk for this fetch in any of those other sites, open water sites?
No, we have not received any kind of information about, let me clarify, are you asking if injuries have come from?
I thought you mentioned a moment ago that there were some cases where there are some injuries because of maintenance issues.
Typically, when we have been told that places have had injuries, or even when we have just read complaints online about water parks, it is typically come as a result of poor maintenance at the water parks.
And in that research, you haven't heard anything about squalls or things creating a situation where there's debris or not being able to get it out of the water in time?
No, we have not. And we have talked to Wibbit in Germany, the main manufacturer, or the main company, and then there is one distributor in the United States, and that's who we've been working with and talked with extensively, and they are the operators of the park on Lake Michigan and gave us their experience with that this summer with a very strong wind and talked to us about their experience. And it's really about good operating procedures, monitoring it ahead of time. And as I mentioned, if you just don't have enough time to get it all out, you can also deflate it so that it will catch less wind.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions? Mrs. Lusk.
Maybe, excuse me, you covered this already, but have there been any instances of the water parks dislodging because of a storm event in any of the research that you've done?
None that we know of. We have asked questions.
Other questions?
One last question.
Mr. Tankard.
What do you see as the price of admission? And when you're admitted, will you be given a life vest at the same time? Is that what's going on?
Yes. So what has been recommended to us in the process that we have discussed is you come in and you sign, you kind of get the spiel on how it works, sign your waiver, you would get a life vest and kind of one group waits because you would go out for about an hour, more than that, and you're probably tired out and it's a little too much for people. So a group kind of gets ready, you go out, and you know the other group's queuing up. And so we have talked about around the $5 price point. That has not been set in stone, but something that is relatively affordable for the general public.
Anyone else? Thank you. Nice job. It's a public hearing. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to speak in favor of this proposal? Is there anybody who wishes to testify in opposition to this proposal? Please come forward, ma'am. Let me swear you in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
Yes.
Thank you, ma'am. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Ann Wallace, and I'm the, I guess, the citizen, the resident, the one resident. who had objected to this, okay? In the interest of total transparency, I own property that will be almost directly in front of this floating island, and I also own property further down the Chesapeake Bay. In the context of putting my remarks in context, I would like to take note of the outstanding work that your staff has done on this project.
We are always happy to hear that. Thank you.
No, but because there's more information here today than I have seen at any time, even when I talked to the city of Hampton. So I feel that my comments don't address all of these remarks. Okay. The one thing I object to strongly is any decision made today until we see what the effect is on the wild, the natural animals and sea fish that live in there. I noticed that the staff couldn't address turtles and the dolphins. I also object to the limited information I have on the anchors. At the time that I submitted my comments, I was told was led to believe by the drawings that there'd be 52 anchors, and I view that as a maze across this. How else do they work? What was submitted and what I received on the amendments was that the anchors would be tethered with one line. I don't see how that's going to work, and whatever those 37 lines are, they will catch fish, sea fish, people, whatever, on this. All right? I don't know how you can prevent it in terms of any of it. So, and I object to the fact that we're talking about a mile of beach. Yes, there is literally a mile of beach. But the public beach where this will be, really, because the city of Hampton has allowed people like me to buy property down there, and most of it is, privately owned on either side, on the fishing pier side and as you go on the opposite side of the fishing pier. All right? So what we're talking about here is 2.5 blocks of public beach where most of the people gather down there. All right? And this will take up, I would say, certainly 0.5 block between the fishing pier, what you can do and swim near the fishing pier because you can't swim near that, and what you can do on this floating island. And because of the amount of information I have received today from listening to this and seeing it, I would strongly request that you defer any decision until the public has had a chance to look at this information in depth and come back to you, okay? Because it is certainly a case of first impression, and it will have lasting effect on the Chesapeake Bay and how it operates. And the last thought, if you can give this to the city of Hampton, I own property down there. Can you give it to me, too, to go out that far and build something? What restricts my access to going out and anchoring my float in front of my house?
Permit application here would be reviewed in the same manner that we reviewed the city side.
But, I mean, I'm just saying it's a very slippery slope going down this case of first impression.
Okay. Other questions from the commission? Mr. Miner.
Yes. So has the city of Hampton, have you all done, the meetings or to have public input or presentations in reference to this park? Yes.
Yep. Ms. Bunning.
And how many meetings you've had?
I don't know exactly how many times we talked about it at City Council, but we did have several City Council discussions about it, which are televised, and the public can come and comment just as they can as well. We did not have a public hearing, per se, mm-hmm. but it was on our advertised agenda and has been discussed. I have addressed it at a couple of civic organizations when been asked to do so, mm-hmm. but we did not have a formal public hearing where we advertised it and people came and expressed their opinions in that way.
I'll note that I've seen a few newspaper articles about this proposal.
There have been several newspaper articles. We fielded a lot of calls, questions from citizens, okay. emails, those kinds of things. I don't think it's been something that has been secret,
right.
but I understand Ms. Wallace's point that she learned more today, perhaps, than she had, because the review that you all require gets into a lot more specificity about technical details that we did not get into in those public forums or in the newspaper articles. But it has been widely discussed.
Ms. Wallace.
My initial comments to your commission were based on those daily press articles and my discussion with the city at that time when I got the first proposal, because as you see here, I'm the only neighbor to this project at all. So it went to no one but me, except for those statements, all right? And at the time, the community of Buckrow addressed it, it was pulled from the agenda. There's a very active civic group there, and it was pulled from the agenda. The mayor had attended that meeting, and there was just verbal opposition to it. I was there, and it was pulled, and that was some time ago. I'd have to look at my papers.
Well, Ms. Wallace, let me ask a question here to make sure I understand here. You seem to be implying that this hasn't been thoroughly vetted at the city level and the community has not engaged in this to a substantial degree?
I don't know what meetings they had, so I don't think it's appropriate for me to say it wasn't fully vetted. I am saying what I, as the one neighbor down there, but the city has a very, as I understand from my limited civic operations here, they have a very significant asset management program. And I think, because my background is finance, I think asset management means, do I have money in the bank or I've invested in something, okay? But asset management to the city means every little community in this city should address their assets. That means what it is that makes it a community. What makes Buckrow a community is the Chesapeake Bay. It has been the most undeveloped Chesapeake or area for some time. It's unlike the James River with the the shipyard there.
Okay.
Whatever. So, yes, I don't think it has been fully vetted, because when I went and told them the limited stuff I did a year ago, I have not monitored it because I heard it was going to come up here, and I understood the only change was minor.
Okay, let's cut to the chase. Let's get specific. What do you specifically object to about this project?
I specifically object to the fact that we haven't heard about what it does to wildlife, all right? And so I think that we ought to have that statement. I understood, but if I'm wrong, you can correct me on it, but I understood you hadn't heard back from them.
No, we've heard from the Virginia Institute of Marine Science, which is the state's marine biologists, and I don't believe that they have an objection.
Okay, well, I didn't understand going through it. So that is one of my major concerns. I'd like to hear what the other three objected to, because I was the only one to object, but there were three more objections. Okay, and so I would like to hear from that, so I would know.
Mr. Johnson, can you help us out with that? Were there other objections that were submitted?
We received three objections yesterday, so they weren't part of the evaluation, but the objection letters are in your packets. The objections, for the most part, deal with some non-jurisdictional stuff, parking again, but they did cite natural resources again.
Okay.
And so I just think that ought to go out, since this is a case of first impression, and have more discussion at the Civics Association so they know what this is. And if they approve it, they approve it. Okay?
Are there questions from the commission?
A question for City Manager.
Mrs. Everett.
Thank you.
I don't know. Thank you, Ms. Watts.
You mentioned that you've had lots of calls and questions and comments specifically for some city council meetings. Has it been supportive, or what is the general?
Well, it's certainly been a range. People who typically call and email will ask questions or have concerns that we have addressed. Many of them you've heard today. There was a lot of concern, what's going to happen if a hurricane comes? Folks didn't understand we had the ability to quickly take down the system and that we would be monitoring, of course. We don't want to cause a threat to our community, and we certainly don't want to risk the investment we've made in it. But when we've been able to answer that, many people have said, oh, okay, I understand. There's been a concern about jellyfish. Why would people get on this? There's jellyfish in the water. Well, we get people who swim with jellyfish. And so this actually gives people a chance to be on the water and not necessarily have to be in the water with the jellyfish. So those kinds of things, a lot of them, I think, were maybe what Ms. Sawala said, not having full information, a first impression, not knowing how much research we had done, not understanding the ability for us to take it up and take it down, those kinds of things. Now, on social media, there's been lots of conversation on Nextdoor and Facebook, and there's been a range. We've had people who say, yes, this is great, this is the kind of thing my family would want to do, and we've had people who say that's a stupid waste of city money. And that's, I think, what you would find in any typical municipal decision-making. You've got people who are very supportive and people who are skeptical. And we try to address those who are skeptics by giving them factual information and hoping that we put their minds at rest. But understand that everyone will always say, you know, this isn't how I want my taxpayer dollars spent. And other people will say, that's exactly how I want my taxpayer dollars spent. So for the most part, the issues that we've had have been not the kinds of things that are in your jurisdiction per se, but broader policy questions about, is this a good use of city resources?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. This is still a public hearing. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to testify in opposition to this project? I'm going to throw the door open for anybody. Is there anybody here in the audience that has anything else you'd like to add to this discussion? Last call. Last call it is. The public hearing is now closed. The matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Let's start with the discussion. Mr. Neal.
I guess this is more of a question. I'm not sure of whom, maybe law enforcement. Right now, it's a public beach. Is there a limit on how close boaters can get to that public beach?
Not that I know of.
Are there limits on how close boaters can get to this device?
I don't have an answer to that off the top of my head here. Maybe Mr. Johnson does.
They have a security barrier.
I understand. You're talking about for this device, that little buoy line they want to have outside.
Yeah.
All right. Then my question is, is there a limit on how close boaters can get to that security barrier? So if I saw bluefish right outside that, right up against that thing, I can be casting my mirror lures right up against it?
I don't see anything that could prevent you.
I think there would be a wide wish that that wouldn't happen.
I guess that's why it was a legal question. I mean, how, I'm assuming, can they surf cast? Can they fish from the beach in Buck Grove? We know they fish on the pier.
Now, the city, I think, can regulate that because it's a public beach. I think they don't allow. Do you allow fishing from the beach?
Not from the beach, only from the pier.
But they can't restrict boaters from fishing from a boat.
There are some, I'll note here, we do have set-asides in a variety of different areas for security reasons. It's something the commission could do at some point if an issue arises around here, but we're not at that step. Mr. Zedrin?
Is the permit just for the ground underneath the project and that barrier line?
Yes, we're issuing a permit for the encroachment over state-owned bottom of the footprint of that structure.
If the permit was enlarged to provide, say, 100 feet around this, or could it be, here's a question, could it be enlarged so that the city then could, I'm going to say, post the where you couldn't come within that 100 feet of that, or 50 feet, or whatever they determined was appropriate, so that you couldn't have Dr. Neal's throwing his lure over there and puncturing the structures, or jet skiers or thing like that causing problems?
I mean, certainly they could apply to put signs out there. Can they legally keep you out of it? It's blocked. I don't think they can. Because
I think that would require some more research as to see if there's a mechanism out there by which they could. A permit to use the bottom to post signs? I mean, if they posted like a wall of signs, perhaps, that would keep it out. But, yeah, the question is, if they post the signs, can they then enforce it, which is something I would have to do more research on. I don't know off the top of my head.
More discussion? Mr. Fritz?
Yeah. In case of a storm or something where this thing would have to be pulled offshore, shouldn't there be a designated area to put it? There's a bunch of crab pots out there. You're not going to pull it through a bunch of crab pots.
Yeah, I mean, so you're talking about an onshore location. You want something in the permit to say they have to put it in this location?
Well, I don't know what we would have to say, because it could be, depending on wind direction, they could have to put it in different spots, but this could present a problem.
I think we need a bit of a clarification from the city here. If it needs to be removed, you're not talking about pulling it offshore.
If it needs to be removed for a storm, it will be pulled offshore and deflated and then stored in our off-season storage.
When you say offshore, do you mean
onto the beach?
Onto the beach. Okay. That was the confusion.
Yeah.
You're not dragging that out into the middle of the bay if there's a storm. That would be counterproductive.
I thought I heard somewhere where it would be pulled offshore.
Onto the beach.
Thank you for the clarification. Be deflated, pulled up onto the beach. Ms. Everett.
For staff, do we have a sense of if we'll see other types of applications if this were approved today? Is there general interest from the private sector or other localities? Or?
This is the first instance I've heard of anything like this, and that's why we're asking for policy on this, because this is a public entity wanting to use public bottom. I mean, certainly if this is a private entity, we'd be asking a lot more questions. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, a for-profit type operation. But certainly we're looking for guidance on this. This is a new use.
But even if today is a precedent-setting decision for a public entity, does that apply to potential future private entity applications?
It could. But I think that's what, you know, we'd be looking to you for.
Mr. Frantz, one more question. How long does it take to construct this?
Given the modular design,
going to take a couple of days to do the initial install, but then actually putting it into the water, it will take that 3 to 4 hours, I believe, just like the deconstruct.
So this could be put up in a week.
Yes.
Thank you.
Water is a little cold.
Looking into that question about whether they could prohibit boat traffic, they can petition DGIF to have it declared a public swimming area and then post it to prohibit boats from coming in there.
Any more discussion? Mr. Tackett.
You know, I guess being in business, you know, you hear about this being an alternative for the public, and they're going to charge $5, much less than perhaps Water Country, which is just down the road from them. We will be, in effect, sort of subsidizing this park. I mean, it's state bottom, and they need to have the room to do it. It worries me that, in fact, the state will be financing a competitor to a private enterprise. I do. That kind of bothers me in a way. You know, the waterfront real estate's expensive, and we're going to be giving it away for free. And I just don't know if we should be in the business of doing that, financing competitors or financing public or private entities for waterfront projects that might not otherwise exist unless we gave them permission.
Mr. Tackett, I have a different view of that.
Okay.
That respectfully here. Water Country is an hour away, Williamsburg. This is designed for the city of Hampton as an amenity to draw tourism to Hampton, to Buckrow Beach. That's a laudable goal for the city of Hamptons. This strikes me as an interesting and perhaps groundbreaking way here to do that. Our natural resources would be used to do this. That's certainly true here. But from my perspective, this is the natural resources that are for the public, owned by the public, managed by us. And if the public wants to make use of this in this regard here, I don't have a problem with that. My concern was more along the lines of safety and whether or not these could become floating hazards, but that the city can and clearly will be highly motivated with this investment here to ensure that they're not blown out in the squall. I think that my concerns that this would become a floating nest in the southern end of the Chesapeake Bay, it's not going to happen. I like the project. I think it's worth trying. If it doesn't work, I'm comforted by the city's backup plan to be able to use this within their aquatic operations and their pools and whatnot. So to that end, I think it's not a competition from my perspective with private water parks. The nearest one's an hour away. Lord knows they get plenty of business. I think this has economic possibilities for the city of Hampton. I find it to be an appropriate use for our water bottoms that we hold in public trust. That's my perspective. Mr. Tackett.
Yeah, you make a good point. I mean, more people on water, I think, is best. I've said it before, for the Commonwealth, more people involved in our natural environment, the better we off we are. So I appreciate your statement there, and I do think that it is a public resource, and the more the people that enjoy it, the better off we are. It being the bay, our water, et cetera.
I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that sentiment, and I think it's nice to provide access, particularly those who don't have water access and might not likely be able to get out there. I think to me, and that's why I do favor this project, I think to me I worry about this becoming the norm and having a flood of applications and this, you know, becoming something that we don't have any way to potentially, for example, deny permit as staff recommended before. So I think it's just a different use that changes the viewscape, and potentially case-by-case basis we could evaluate them, but it's precedent setting, so it's a little bit
it is, let me throw my two cents in on that here. It is precedent setting to a degree. I mean, we haven't seen this type of proposal before in Virginia and not much on the East Coast. That this is a locality project by the locality, staffed by the locality. It's clearly not a for-profit, money-making type of operation. If a $5 entry fee would be enough to cover the lifeguards, the security here, the biofouling, the maintenance, the removal, and the reinstallment of this after squalls come through, I view this as something different than if there was a private organization that came in to use the water bottoms for a private profit-making commercial operation. And I think that has, from my perspective, a higher standard. The city of Hampton is a responsible locality here that's making an investment and is doing this in a way, I believe, to bring in tourism, to have more people on the water here. Buckrow Beach, you know, is being developed and continues to be developed. I find this to be a separate category than a private venture coming in to use the state's water bottoms to make money. That's, to me, different than what we're seeing here, for my two cents. More discussion? Mr. Neal.
First of all, I'm going to vote to approve the permits. That's it. But I have concerns, just like all of them have been stated here. John's concerns about these breakaways. I kind of think it will happen, not if. It's just, I've been on the bay when I've been caught out in some pretty, really strong winds that I did not expect, were not predicted. And I don't, bad things happen. But I guess another concern is we are, for this footprint, we're taking this water away from other public use. But overall, it's a small footprint. And this worry about being precedent-setting, I guess I don't see it as much as this is kind of a trial. And so this This is something that we, the City of Hampton, and I really think the protesters with this really belong in this, with the City of Hampton. I think it's between their government and their residents. But what our job is, I'm going to vote to approve the permits, but I do have concerns and I do have doubts about the long term sustainability of this project. But it could be great. I'm thinking it's not going to be, but that's not my job, I guess, at this point. The City of Hampton, they may have smarter people than me that think it's going to be a wonderful project. I hope they're right. That's my 2 cents worth. So with concerns, I don't see that from our job that a denial of this type of permits for this amount of water, I would vote to accept these permits, to approve the permits for this.
Ms. Celeste.
I think this is an interesting opportunity for the City of Hampton and for their residents. Certainly, it looks like fun. But I share some of the concerns of setting a precedent, particularly, you know, should other organizations, homeowners, associations decide to apply for permits like this. You know, the aquaculture industry already experiences a lot of user conflict in areas, and this would be a concern for me that other organizations, not necessarily municipalities, would see this and want to also put up a similar structure, which poses even more issues for the aquaculture industry and people who are trying to take up leases in Oyster Grove.
More discussion. No more more discussion. Mrs. Effort.
In response to Mr. Neal, when you said trial basis, you refer to other future applications or to this?
For other future applications. I guess we would have the experience of this before we would to consider when we had other types of projects. And Mrs. Lusk's comments right now are good. They're spot on. And so those are things for us to consider. Now, you know, the chance of everyone to lease this particular area for aquaculture, probably not right off a public beach. But,
right.
But yes, that's a good point.
So let me add in on that, because I think you're right, Mrs. Lusk. If this was something that was going to be a fairly routine thing on state water bottoms here, that's in problematic areas, I mean, that's certainly a higher standard of review on our part. So this is the city managing a city amenity here for tourism and recreation at a city beach where there is no SAV, there's no oyster grounds, there's no discernible user conflict that I can see that puts this in a different light than something that I would object to if this was in a residential community in a high-volume boating area with a lot of navigation issues with SAV and aquaculture water bottom leases. I mean, there's a wide-open area here on a public beach to be managed by the city here as an amenity. That's what puts it in a different standard from my perspective. But I think you're exactly right. We need to be cautious about these type of things down the road. This isn't a blanket endorsement to this concept everywhere, or at least from my perspective. So, Mr. Tacker?
You know, I agree. I think the City of Hampton has probably actually a very good location for this when you look at it, to be honest with you. You know, they've got the ability to take it down, put it up quickly. They own the beach that's around them. They've got an easement in and around this whole property. So without taking any more time, I'd move to approve this application.
Second.
Well, let me ask for a clarification. Mr. Tanker, when you move to approve this application here, do you also wish to include the staff's contingency kind of concern here about whether or not we require a detailed development plan to remove or secure the structure in the event of storms, and that there is confirmation by the manufacturer that the siting is in appropriate water depths?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I want to include that.
All right, so that's a motion to approve the project with those I's to be dotted and T's to be crossed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Is the seconder, Mr. Miner, here?
Second.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You're good with that more fuller
right.
approval motion. Mm-hmm. All right. So we have a motion by Mr. Tankard and a second by Mr. Miner here. Is there discussion on the motion? I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? The chair votes aye as well here. And the motion passes and the project is approved with those stipulations. Thank you very much. Mrs. Wallace, thank you very much for coming in today and giving us your testimony.